morning, everybody. A warm welcome here from Paignton Baptist Church to everyone here today and those listening at home. We welcome you into this space, whether you're a regular, a person who has come back, or a new person, everybody is welcome here. The topic of today is marriage. And Stephen will be preaching today. My name is Debbie. I'm a pioneer minister in the church here, supporting mental health and well-being. Before we start, we have notices. And I'd like to start with some really exciting news. So, Ollie, would you like to come up, please?
Good morning. Nice to see you all. So the good news that I come to share is that Abby has received, God has provided her with more than she needs, which she's so happy about, and it's a great blessing because it enables her to be generous and her to not, you know, live in with that poverty mindset where she's restricted to just sitting there and not being able to do much. So she's very grateful, and it means that she can enjoy her time and hopefully, you know, be prepared to minister with joy. So any donations now will be, if there is any incoming, will be going directly to YWAM, as the proceedings from the open mic night the other day did. So whether, if you planned on donating, whether you want to still do it through us and then we'll send it to YWAM, or you can do it directly yourselves. I do not mind. God bless you all, and thank you all for your donations. Thank you.
Anybody who isn't aware, Abby is a young woman who God has called to go across the world, first of all to spend some time with YWAM, and then to go out into some mission work. And we've been delighted to support her venture, as are many other people in this area. For people who don't receive emails, there are copies of the agenda and finance information in advance of Tuesday's church meeting, which is held here on Tuesday evening. So please pick those up if you haven't received them by email. We also still have forms for the Holy Spirit Day on Saturday the 30th of September. So if you would like to come and or would like to see what it's all about, please take the form, fill it in, and give it to Stephen or Leslie so that they can know how many people to cater for. And we hope that everybody will find something of great value from that day. We're also asking for help. We're asking for help for volunteers to offer worship through service on Friday mornings between 9:30 and 11:30. So if there's anybody who would be prepared to join a rota, we're not asking people to come every week to serve, but if anybody would like to join a rota and offer a Friday morning, perhaps once a month, please could you speak to me or to Stephen. And finally, I just wondered if there is anybody here who has a birthday today. Oh, we're not going to get to see. Anybody got a birthday in the next couple of days? Silvio, tell me. Is it you? When? Wednesday. I think we have to sing for Silvio. So lovely to have you with us so we can sing to you, Silvio. So let's sing happy birthday.
Day, Sylvia.
ourselves into this space fully present, ready for an encounter with God, with Jesus. Some of us had a busy morning, so just bring yourself fully into this space. Feel yourself rooted through your feet into the rock that is Jesus. Notice God's breath in your lungs. Let him quieten your minds. God says, be still and know that I am God. And to prepare us to enter worship, I'm going to read a few words from Psalm 147. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of stars and calls each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. The Lord sustains the humble, but casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with grateful praise. Make music to our God on the harp. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain and makes grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the legs of the warrior. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. So let us just open our hearts and our minds and our ears and our eyes through sun worship as we worship the centre of all of this, Jesus, light of the world.
Light of the world, you step down.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. My hope is built on nothing else, only Jesus. So let's sing, my hope is built in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, our cornerstone.
Son to die for. Thank you, Lord, for your message.
One of the ways that God shows goodness is to provide. And everything we receive, we can give back, whether it's through our strength or financially or through service, through prayer. And now we come to a time where if you are in a position to or want to, we can give back through our offering. We collect this from people who are regular attenders if they wish to contribute and are in the position to be able to. Visitors are not required unless they would like to. But it's such a privilege to be able to gather this. So would the people who are gathering our offering please... So, we are very blessed today because we have some children. We've got Tara, Paul, and we've got Connie. And it's absolutely wonderful to see all of you. You've been given some folders, and in your folders there are a number of things that you can do. There's a bit of a quiz with a spot the difference about Eden and Adam and Eve in Eden. There's also, for Connie, or for Taya and Paul, an opportunity to hunt bush babies. All the joys of living in Eden with the bush babies hiding. And there's also some colouring sheets to do with the creation of Adam and the creation of Eve and their fellowship together. And there's a blank piece of paper because Stephen's going to be talking about marriage. And if you would like to draw something about marriage, weddings, whatever you want to do, it would be wonderful to see what you think would be a beautiful day when two people come together in marriage. So enjoy exploring your folders as we listen to Stephen's word and message. Stephen, can I just bless you? Lord, I ask you to empower our brother. Speak into his voice and into his words. And open our ears and our hearts and our minds. Let us understand what you wish each one of us here today to hear and what you want us to encounter. And I ask this in the precious name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Anybody's falling asleep, I can wake you up. This is perfect, isn't it? Perfect. Last week, we looked at the importance of God's Word. How we would not even exist without it. How we cannot be saved without God's Word. We can have no relationship with God, no hope of eternal life without God's Word. God's prophetic Word, the Word made alive by the Holy Spirit, strengthens, comforts, and encourages us. May it be so today. May we hear the Holy Spirit speaking through the word of Christ today. Why bother? Why bother? You might think, well, yes, why would I bother coming today? If that's where you're feeling, I'm really sorry for you. Because I could just abide in God's presence with our worship. That was just beautiful, isn't it? Just to be here. But why bother? Why bother? A regular churchgoer, a friend of Leslie and ours, knocked on my door the other day as I was about to go out and to start preparing or listening to God to see what he wanted to say for us this morning. And it was going to be on God's purpose for marriage, which is what our theme is today, God's purpose for marriage. And he knocked on the door just as I was about to go out. He was going away for a few days to his granddaughter's wedding. And we were talking about this, and he said, they're crazy. So I obviously asked him why. He said they've been living together for 3 years. Why bother? Now I was a bit taken aback because, you know, having a grandchild who's getting married gives you an idea of age and being a regular churchgoer. And I thought that was really interesting. Why bother? When you can get all you want and desire from another person by living together as sexual partners, why get married? Marriage is expensive, complicated, trouble, restrictive, just a bit of paper, too much commitment, risky, the reason why relationships fail. Living together is cheaper, simpler, easier, less hassle, freedom. Those are the lies that we have bought into and our culture lives by. How did we come to this? We rejected God. And we chose not to obey God's word. We believe the enemy's lie that God is a spoil sport who invents rules to make us miserable. And if we break them, we will be free. The truth is that God loves us. And as our creator, he knows what is best for us. But God will not force us to obey him. He gives us a choice. His way or our way, our sinful way. Last week we heard from Jesus that if we hear his words and put them into practice, we'll be building our lives on a firm foundation, solid rock. If we hear his words and refuse to put them into practice, or we don't even bother to listen to his words in the first place, then we're building our lives on a very shaky foundation, sand. When the rains come, the streams rise and the winds blow, which they will, a house built on sand will fall with a great crash. In this country, we are living in an age when the vast majority, even people who call themselves Christians, are building their houses on sand. The rain is falling. The streams are rising. The wind is blowing, and our houses are falling down with a great crash. We've seen lots of pictures in the news, haven't we, recently, of floods. Who was woken up last night by the thunder? Yeah, there's a few. I don't know how far our water butt was empty yesterday. It'll be interesting to see how far it's filled up. But we are living in a time when right in front of us we're seeing pictures of the torrents coming down. God takes no delight in being proved right. Jesus didn't tell that story so he could say, there we are, told you so. He told us that story to save us, to protect us. God's heart is breaking as he looks at what is happening to us, his creation. And he looks at us with great compassion. As Jesus said, he sees us as sheep lost without a shepherd. Those people, he says, are so confused they don't know their right hand from their left. What is the solution to what we see around us? It's to go back to our Creator, to go back to his word, the truth. I'm just going to read a couple of verses from Genesis. Our main reading comes in a moment. But just to start us off, from the Old Testament, Hayley, if you want to put up the first reading one, if you want to look at it now, you can do. I've typed out all the scriptures we're using today on some sheets. So if you want to take them home with you, so you've got them all in one place, I'll put them on the chair next to Janine near the door there, so you can pick them up as you go out. But let's look at back to the beginning. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. And then in the way that the Bible does sometimes, it repeats itself. Gives a second look at what he's just said. And so in Genesis 2, reading from verse 18, one behind the one that's on the list there, from verse 18. The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he'd taken out of the man. And he brought her to the man. The man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. In the beginning, God created mankind, male and female, in his image. God is not a man or a woman. God is God. We're made in his image. He's not made in ours. He created mankind, male and female, in his image and intimately connected. Woman means out of man. They were physically connected from creation. Adam said, bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. God brought them together for a purpose. God doesn't do anything by accident. So what is God's purpose for marriage? Firstly, intimate togetherness. God united man and woman together as one flesh, one body. They were united together physically, emotionally, spiritually. They were naked in front of each other and in front of God. They were not ashamed. Why should they be? They were exactly as God intended. They were one unit, one couple, complementing one another, but distinctly male and female. The Lord God had said, "It is not good for man to be alone." Mankind, men and women and children, were created for relationship with one another. So, marriage of purpose of marriage is intimate togetherness. Second, fruitfulness. God not only joined them together, he blessed them to be fruitful, to increase in number. Joining with God in the miracle and wonder of creation, to reproduce more men and women through the physical, sexual intimacy that God created for them to fill the earth. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but God didn't create millions of people all at once. He just made two. And from those two came all of humanity. Fill the earth and subdue it. God created men and women, and through them, their children, to fill the earth and subdue it, to rule over all the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the ground. God's fruitfulness for us is not an animal perpetuating its species, which is what you'd hear if you watched a lot of our nature programs. God's fruitfulness for us is a people made in his image, looking after his creation, the whole world. So what went wrong? Adam and Eve disobeyed God. They were deceived by the enemy, doubted God's word, and did the one thing that God told them not to do. As a result, they became ashamed of who they were. Naked and sinful, and they became separated. Separated from God and separated from each other. The woman blaming the man, or rather the man blaming the woman, started at that point. But blaming each other, division started at that point. God still loved them and cared for them, despite their disobedience. He even killed some of his precious animals to provide skins to clothe them. But nevertheless, they had to be cast out of the Garden of Eden, no longer eating from the tree of life, and they died. Ever since those events, God's idea of marriage, God's purpose for marriage, marriage itself has been under attack. In a variety of different ways. We haven't got any time, anything like the time, to look at all the different things that happen. Just want to share a couple. Sexual relationships outside marriage. Sexual immorality and adultery attack marriage. Divorce, often by the one with power, has been used in many instances to attack marriage. Sometimes it's necessary, but so often it's been a power exerted, as I say, usually the man over the woman. What other attacks? Multiple marriages. Don't have you ever thought that Jacob had 12 children through 4 different women, 2 of whom were not his wives? Think about all the trouble that caused. After the opening King David gave to the enemy into his life, through committing adultery and murder, his son Solomon ended up with just a few wives. Do anybody know how many wives Solomon had? Any advance on 400? 700 and 300 concubines. And his wives led him astray. That's what it says. It's straight from scripture. His wives led him astray to other gods, because those wives were all of people worshipping foreign gods. God uses extremes to make his point. Multiple marriages is an attack on marriage. How God's heart must ache for that which he has lost,
which we have lost. The innocent intimacy he had with Adam and Eve, and the innocent intimacy that they had with each other. But God doesn't wring his hands and moan, but wash his hands of us and leave us to our fate, our mess. No, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son to save us and gave us new life. So what does Jesus say about marriage? Surprisingly, not a great deal. But what he does say is vital, and we need to listen to it. So could we have our reading now, please, from Matthew? Liz is going to bring that for us.
Reading from Matthew 19, verses 1 to 12. When Jesus had finished saying these things, he left Galilee and went into the region of Judea, to the other side of the Jordan. Large crowds followed him, and he healed them there. Some Pharisees came to him to test him. They asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason?" "Haven't you read," he replied, "that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female, and said, 'For this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh.' So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." "Why then," they asked, "did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away?" Jesus replied, "Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard. But it was not this way from the beginning. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another woman commits adultery." The disciples said to him, "If this is the situation between a husband and wife, it is better not to marry." Jesus replied, "Not everyone can accept this word, but only those to whom it has been given. For there are eunuchs who were born that way, and there were eunuchs who have been made eunuchs by others. And there are those who choose to live like eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. The one who can accept this should accept it."
Thank you, Liz. By the time Jesus came to earth to be born, God's people Israel had fallen so far from God's best for marriage that men were divorcing their wives for the slightest misdemeanor and sending them away. The Pharisees were trying to justify their actions when they asked Jesus about divorce. So how does he respond? He explains that the law was given to Moses was dealing with hearts that were hardened. If you think back what happened with the Israelites when they first left Egypt, you can understand that. So Jesus says, but that's not the way it was always meant to be. We need to go back to the beginning. What was God's purpose in the beginning? And so he takes us back to what we've already heard from the first chapter of Genesis. So they are no longer two, but one. If this is true, and this is the thing for us to really think about as we look around the world outside, and maybe obviously in our own past and so on, but particularly as we look around the way the world is at the moment. If it's true that two become one, then you can see why we have so many problems with people who have multiple sexual partners. Each time they part and move on, there's a tearing apart of the intimate togetherness that God intended such sexual union to be. It's supposed to be a source and celebration of intimacy. Instead, it's a whole sequence of tearing apart. When our culture puts on a pedestal, makes an idol of the freedom, so-called, to be intimate with anybody you want at an ever younger age, you can see why we're destroying ourselves, act by act, view by view, advert by advert, even song by song. That's our culture is doing. God says, Jesus says, God's original purpose for marriage has not changed. It has always been God's will that sexual intimacy is only for a marriage between one woman and one man. The next thing that's important to say here is there is no right to be married in Scripture. It's very important to say that. God does not give a right for us to be married. Marriage is a gift from God, and we cannot demand it as a right. God does not want us to be alone. But marriage is not the only way to not be alone. We're going to be talking more about that next week. But the reason why this is important is that we cannot advance the argument that says, God has made me the way I am, with same-sex attraction, and because I have a right to be married, God must therefore want me to marry someone of the same sex. That's the argument, or one of the arguments. That's why it's really important to say there is no right for everyone to be married. God's design for marriage has not changed, and it never will be, despite those who say that Scripture has evolved and moved on and now the Holy Spirit gives us new things. It's simply not true. God's word has not changed. In the passage you just heard, Jesus makes it clear in respect to eunuchs that some were born that way. Some were made that way by others. And there are those who choose to live like eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. We need, as I've said before and I'll keep saying, we need to fully support those who have chosen to obey God and be a good witness to him through being celibate rather than pursue a same-sex relationship, which is what everything in them is wanting and crying out for. They bear a cross that has to be carried every day. God has provided us with many different types of human relationship to provide the companionship and love that we need. And we will be exploring this next week. I was reading a book earlier in the week and I thought, oh yes, we so easily forget. Was Jesus married? Oh no, to a woman. Did Jesus enjoy companionship, community? Did Jesus love? Did Jesus have a good time at someone else's wedding? And it just, I haven't bullets in my notes, but it's worth just dwelling a moment, isn't it? One of my most fulfilling time, and Leslie knows this because she knows this very well, was when I came out of a wrong relationship at university, and I was there at university, and I had a ball. Free, I said, no, forget girlfriends, that's it, off the chart, forget it. And I just had a ball for 3 years, getting on with everybody. It took a long while to sort of wake up again when we finally came to be married, and that was wonderful, and it's ever so bliss ever since, and I'm so glad it happened. But I'm living proof, and I'm sure many here today would say the same. And Jesus above all. You don't have to be married to be happy. God's word makes it quite clear that sexual union is only to be within marriage of a man and a woman, and a loving marriage, man and woman. So there's, Jesus says, intimate togetherness. Secondly, fruitfulness. We heard earlier how after the first scripture in Genesis that Jesus quoted, God blessed Adam and Eve and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Now Jesus doesn't refer to this blessing, to be fruitful. But it's interesting what happens next. For those who've still got your Bibles open, what's the very next thing that comes? Children. Then people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for him. But the disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. When he placed his hands on them, he went on from there. Who brings the little children to Jesus? Who are the disciples trying to say, go away? Who would have brought baby infants in those days?
Mother.
Yeah. Probably the mother, but certainly the parents. One of the chief purposes of marriage is to be the beautiful, safe, strong, joyful, peaceful, and blessed home for children to be born into, to grow and develop in, and then with both roots and wings, fly as independent adults. How far we have fallen as mankind from this ideal. A recent example, which I find in some ways difficult to believe, but on the other hand, obvious to believe. There was a recent example, a child said that in their class at school, they were the only one who was living with both their birth parents at home. Only one. We know there are loads of reasons why that is not the case. Many reasons. But is it any wonder that our young people are lost, confused, hurt, and broken? I've got in capital letters here, you can probably see it on my notes there. There is no judgment or condemnation of any individual here or listening to this. We have sinned, all sinned, and fallen short of the glory of God. It is our sin, mankind's sin, that has created a situation where hardly anybody is there with the people that conceive them. We know that sickness, death, separation, there's so many reasons. But that's where we have fallen. A marriage under God, for God, is a beautiful thing that brings God the glory. When our girls were both married, everybody said, it's great to see a proper Christian marriage. Two people who were not living together, well, four people, two couples, both not living together before they were married. Can we find this beautiful thing of marriage? If we, as God's church, his body, his witnesses, do not uphold God's true marriage, who will? No one else is going to. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will heal their land. A promise that was made by God when the temple was open for worship. We are not Israel. We are not even at heart a Christian country. We're not in Christendom anymore. But we can, as God's church, lead our country in repentance. And we can turn from our part in these wicked ways and pray. We can't make somebody else pray. We can't make somebody else conform. We need to start individually and together as a church and the church. My prayer is that through the current consultation process of the Baptist Union, there will be a turning back to God and His Word here. Already, all the preachers are preaching with greater passion since we've been thinking about these things. And it's great. Are you not encouraged by what you're hearing each week as God is speaking loudly and clearly through passion? But may it be this true for the whole of the Baptist family. A returning back to God and His Word. No compromise. Now, I've got a third point. For those who know me well, you're thinking togetherness, intimate togetherness, and fruitfulness. Stephen, where's your third point for a purpose of marriage? And this is it. Marriage is to be and is a revelation, a vision. As we've looked through the Bible, looked at Zechariah, as you look through any of the Old Testament books, every one of them points to Jesus. And the word we've had today from Genesis is no exception. While there may not be a lot of direct teaching about marriage in the Bible, there are hundreds of examples of marriages. The good, the bad, and the ugly. They're all in there. God reveals His purposes and speaks to us through real lives. That's why it's important to read the Old Testament, because you see what real life is like there. And so to finish today, just looking at this third purpose that you'll find in Scripture, which we haven't covered so far, we've got our final reading, which Debbie's going to bring us.
If you want to follow it, it's page 1176, and it's Ephesians 5, 21 to 33. Instructions for Christian households. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which He is the Saviour. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church. We are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery. But I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself. And the wife must respect her husband.
The coming together of a man and a woman in marriage, in intimate togetherness, as united as it is possible to be, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, is a revelation, is a vision of the coming together of Jesus and his church. The church is seen at the end of the book of Revelation as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And this is our eternal destiny. It was the joy set before Jesus that took him to the cross, knowing that he could win his bride. Jesus loved the church and gave himself for her to make her holy, cleansing her, laying down his life for her. In marriage, a husband loving his wife as his own body is a picture of how Jesus loves his body, us and all believers. Every loving marriage between a man and a woman is a revelation of God's love for us and the intimacy that has been achieved through Jesus' death and resurrection and the new life we have in him through the Holy Spirit. Every loving marriage between man and woman reminds us, shows us, teaches us, shouts at us, this is your destiny. This most precious purpose of marriage cannot be achieved by same-sex marriage, can it? Simple as that. Let us celebrate and uphold God's creation of marriage. Celebrate and uphold God's purposes for it, and join together in refusing to allow anybody to redefine what marriage is. Amen.
Let's just take a moment to just quieten into a space where if there's anything that the Lord wants to speak to you, into your heart, you can receive it. Know that you are totally forgiven as soon as you recognize that there is something that God would like to change, if that is applicable to you. Know that you are surrounded by the love of others if today asks you to make changes, and that there are people who wish to walk with you. Father, help us to build our lives in a way that is worthy to you. To be confident in your word. Help us to know that you have a plan for each one of us. And that if we are still and we search and seek that plan through intimacy with you, Lord, you will reveal it and you will smooth the way to it if we are just prepared to obey. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We have a an opportunity now to have sung worship as a response to this sermon. And we're going to use a lyric video. But it is an opportunity for you to sing. It is an opportunity for you to move. It is an opportunity to give whole body worship. Just as a beautiful marriage is whole body worship of the two together. So we're going to listen to and sing. If there's anything that's been put on your heart during this time and you would like to share it or speak it out, if you've been given an image or a word, please do so.
Thank you, Lord, for your beautiful world in South Africa. Thank you, Lord, for speaking there and back. And thank you, Lord, for sending my church family. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for the gift of this family for each one of us. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, that just like the bridegroom is coming back for the bride to take her home, you are coming back for us to take us home.
Thank you.
Amen.
And thank you, Lord, that you are coming back for a spotless bride. Thank you, Lord, that we can't go past that, Lord. You are looking for us, the spotless bride. Not that, Lord, that we do sin, but spotless in that we stick to your word. We don't bend like the world. You want us spotless in your... Thank you, Lord, that you call us the bride. That means that you are the bridegroom and that you love us. And you've chosen us, Lord, to be your bride. Thank you, Jesus. It doesn't matter, a bride doesn't have to be a woman. Yes. In this case, like Stephen said, we are built in God's image, so we're one person. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Lord, that you place each one of us in the family. Mm. And I want to give thanks for my family, for our family, this morning. They might not be perfect, but we love them and we support them. And I want the Lord to know that they are loved by David and I. And they're as their grandparents. And as their parents, and let their parents who love them too.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, that although I live alone, I am not lonely because you are with me. That I can change the word alone to all one in you. Thank you, Lord. Maybe there are others that have been put on your heart that you wish to pray for, to intercess for, or situations that you would like to intercess for, and this is an opportunity to do that.
Father, I want to pray for this coming week when everything seems to be happening in every day. Lord, I pray for strength, particularly for David, who will be leaving the round of court on Tuesday, and then the beginning of our house group on Thursday. I pray you'll help him through this week. Mm-hmm. And I pray also for Girls Brigade, where I'm going to be one of the helpers there. So Lord, I just pray for strength for each day. Help us to put each day in your hands. Amen.
I pray for all those facing new beginnings, whether it's returning home from a hospital stay or some surgery, or whether it's going out into a new life like Abby and Ollie, or those who are actually facing change. And I ask you to be with them clearly as they are walking that new path. And I ask them that you empower them to be a witness to your goodness in their life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Father, we thank you that Paul and Tao and Connie have schools to go to, filled with people that are devoted to them, to care for them and to teach them. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that you are present with them as they go into new classes, new year groups, new situations. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Those who couldn't hear that, Charlie was talking about the joy of having a Christian teacher now in this space, but it's now actually establishing the gospel back into the center of that school, because that is how the whole school was founded. But it's got lost on its journey a little, and that means that it leads to chaos. And our final song is very much about that. They're going to be singing Come Set Your Rule and Reign. But before we do that, is there anything that the children would like to show us from what they've been doing today? Is there anything that you can show us today? Worksheets. So let's just stand and ask that, just as Charlie is saying she wants to have kingdom established in the center of her school, for chaos to become order. Let us sing about setting the Lord's rule and reign over everything. Build your kingdom here. the whole community heard that one. It was... So let's just be blessed by Hebrews, and then we'll say the grace together. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be all glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, we probably can't all join hands completely, but if anybody would like to join us with those of them, as we say the grace, thank you.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore.
Coffee in the Crossing Centre, you're a visitor.
Thank you.